Going to introduce Katja Grubesic next. Katja has published poetry, fiction, translation, and reviews in the New Quarterly, the Antigonish Review, Grain Magazine, the Nashwak Review, Ellipse, Books in Canada, Front and Center, and the Fiddlehead, and in a chapbook with Delirium Press. She has been an editor with the Fiddlehead, QWERTY, and the New Quarterly, and is presently the managing editor of Vallum Magazine. Please welcome Katja.
Thanks, guys. Thank you all for coming, and thanks, Heather and Kate, for this whole year of readings for what will come next year. Also, I'm really excited for next year's readings, for the Delirious Ball, for whatever other weird books we wind up sewing into geometric shapes that require a degree in math. I'm going to read a few poems. The first makes reference. I'm actually going to tell a small secret about you, if that's okay, Stephanie. You know how you mistake things in songs or whatever, you mishear them, and there's actually a website called kissthisguy.com, I think, which is about misheard lyrics, I think, and there's a line in a Prince song that's actually misheard as "don't make out with my bassoon" or something bizarre like this. But Stephanie, we've heard having this conversation, I'm not going to give my secret away, but hers was that she often thought as a child that, what was it, the lion around the equator was actually a lion, like around the equator. Which is kind of cute, and so I used it in a poem. I hope that's okay. I'll give you copyright if you'd like. This poem is called "Talking Like Stones in the Night Zoo." You are mistaken. Today is not the biting day. Only the morning after a night unslept that leaves us spent, while the biter, who is at once ghost lover and sweater pile destroyer, tumbler of things, that white knight, the sort that makes you forget the 40 cents owed to the pet shop girl, which feels like bad karma when all you want is a budgerigar, but everyone shakes his head, assumes you'll trade it for booze. That's how they are. One night in New York, I called a guy a dick for lecturing a homeless man, and the guy chased me down West 55th, shouting, "I am not a dick, I'm not a dick." Calling, he didn't know, is a form of love. It's snowy descendant. We give a name, star, ptarmigan, atomic bomb, in that order, and look at us loving, a sway on the back porch at nightfall. We roar even though what comes out is sometimes nothing at all, prone as we are to choking on angry tongues. And yet other days love bows out in perfect tune, the prelude from Bach's 4th cello suite. Yes, the very one we listened to in lieu of love those nights, when the words were clamped down like the best way to catch a bird. A question: is it healthy or unhealthy for the sadness glands to listen to the cello? That promise, the minor key of the American dream, it'll modulate near the end, it could resolve. That promise has us by the hairs, filigree fingering the new flesh underneath the weight of all that evolution. Not seed in patient hand, it's more efficient to compress the bird, or to club it down from the tree, or to just shoot it so that it falls easily, as in some winged western, stumbles from the porch, clutching at its breast and muttering the name of its beloved. Before its bloodening eyes are flashes of life, the three flaws. Mistaking good olive oil for bad, Tchaikovsky for Brahms. What else? That is, if you're sure you want to catch a bird at all. Otherwise, you're looking like a fool with a limp chip of feathers the color of honeydew, like a sample for your cellar's decor. Careful who you pretend to be, like a scorned tomboy in an Agnes de Mille ballet. Humiliation will show up in the shoulders, the soft, watched-out crook beneath the collarbones that in halcyon days was so fit for kissing. Faced with incision, we remember the third, the admission of impotence that is speech while dancing. Now we say the words instead of love, to keep ourselves revocable, only when we are standing stone still, blithely confessing our dreams to the sleeping beasts around us in the night zoo. All waiting for dawn together, for the sky to split open, stars to dart out like awkward shorebirds, heralds of our collective destructions, like imaginary lions racing around the equator, anxious to get started, set bridges alight. Hang on, we'll burn them when we get there. Don't be sad. Just that today is not the biting day, that's all. Someone who read this poem actually... It's a true story about the guy chasing me down the street yelling I'm not a dick, and someone who read this poem was like, wow, I really like the Richard Nixon reference. right. I'm going to read two more poems, a short one and then a longer one, and I'm going to let you choose a short one because I've been doing a bunch of readings recently and I've lost all perspective on my own work. So you have three choices. The first is a tango poem, the second one is called Wolf Bait, and the third is called Moon Dial, and is about a moon dial as opposed to a sundial. So show of hands for the tango poem. Wolf Bait?
Wolf Bait.
Yeah. And the moon dial is kind of, sorry. I'll give you the draft of this one.
Private reading, thank you.
Private reading, all right. We'll go to the bathroom at the break. All right, so this is Wolf Bait. And I've made Megan blush as a bonus.
And it's on tape.
And it's on tape. Wolf Bait. What to do on swirly days like these, but grab the beast before you've even found it. Set it up for the foreseeable violence. Tighten its sinews around four easy pegs like tented strings laying over the graphite-rubbed frame without mistaking precision for tenderness. Grooves already drafted into where the eating away will take place. Here is storm and wood, as usual. The wood, how to tell it's cracked and where. So climb in. This is how we keep the whole landscape pushing forward, gaining ground, and how inexact a sunbeam becomes as it swarms through the gaps, prints sneering winks in the bark, in the snow. Doesn't quite light up the insides, though, does it? What does? Pencil in a dust mote where the creature was. It's handy to track the trajectory. Where it comes from is up there somewhere. Where it falls will be wolf bait. You know you'll never see it land. So much for audience selection. And the last poem I'm going to read is a new poem written for a friend for whom I've also previously written a poem. You may know the oft-read Barometer, which is the title of my book, and I'm not going to read that one tonight, so if you want it, you'll have to buy the book. But that poem arose when I first met Heather. Heather is from the West Coast, and so we did the whole hugging and Birkenstocks thing, and I'm from a variety of other places. And I bees sort of by instinct, the sort of kiss-kiss, which actually almost got me killed. I think I was in Iowa City recently, and I was like... but so I wrote a poem about this sort of phenomenon of coming in, the collision of attempting to bees and attempting to hug, which is called Barometer. And this poem doesn't bookend the friendship because there's no end, but it will prop it up while you're in Banff, hopefully. This is called Silk Pouch Hardware. You read me right away, and we began piling brick by brick there in the bookstore and living room. There was a swimming pool ladder for climbing out of your turquoise well. We stacked one rung after another. Right away, without keeping track, we put up the bits of clothing, pearls, tobacco, flowers. Hard to stack, but strangely beautiful, as a whooped, no-strings mating call, or a look of recognition when we concede beauty, accept it some days in lieu of truth. All this given with care once a year or as needed, not strewn like some histrionic landscape on moors that tried too hard to be romantic, couldn't get out of the last century. You write me, and we can build anything. See how long the road goes on. See this tower for broiling intergalactic messages. We will build everything. A chocolate factory, more reasonably sized concepts. Can I interrupt this poem to tell a story?
No.
Okay, no story. You'll have to ask Heather about the concept story. Sorry. You write me and we can build anything. It has to do with an ex-boyfriend.
This is on the internet!
I may have a blush. You write me and we can build anything. See how long the road goes on. See this tower for broiling intergalactic messages. We will build everything. A chocolate factory, more reasonably sized concepts, a photo booth, a really colorful giraffe. I know you would tie her shoes since she can't bend down, scale her neck to festoon her with streamers. I know she would trust you utterly. Maybe we can take her picture too, tuck our questions into the money slot and wait for the kisses to come our way. 4 minutes or the giraffe goes free, gets taller, more colorful. We read it right on the piano bench, picking only the best notes. Here are some from my childhood, from yours. Hopscotch around the cracks in the soundboard, using for a stone the pit from the best mango ever. This is the stone. This is the song I remember best. An old weathering tune, so drunk it needs to be carried around in a silk pouch. You can trade it if you need to in your travels. For some beans, gold shoes, ointment for old nightmares, or a new gong. Sound it. At once you'll be surrounded by thousands of sleeves to rest your heart on. Thank you.